the conquest of the flesh. A body hast thou prepared me? Then said I, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Hebrews 10, verses 5 and 7. The flesh is nearer to us than either the devil or the world. It is a part of us. There was no original evil in the body which God provided for the first man, Adam. True, it had a very lowly origin. Thus thou art. It is almost as though God, foreknowing the fall of man, made him of dust to counter the pride that would rise in him through sin. In this body, then, we have a common parentage with worms, since both are created creatures. The fleshly body is no more than the dust beneath our feet, a shell of clay. Now, first of all, look at the fall of man. When God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, man became a living soul. That man had a God-given, created life. He was perfect in his innocence, and his body functioned perfectly as an instrument of that God-breathed life. The smile of his innocence met the smile of God. But he was merely a created creature, and a creature must obey. It is so with the angels in heaven. On earth it must also be with man. God must rule in his own universe, or else there will be chaos. Obedience, however, was to be no heavy burden. In a lovely garden where man was given to eat of all the trees, only one was forbidden. Only one command was issued, but it was added, In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Genesis 2 and 17. So the tempter came. Innocent life is not spiritual life. To acquire spiritual life, there must be voluntary choice. For piety untried, is piety uncertain. With subtlety, the snare is laid. Evil suggestion is presented. The one command is broken. Sin enters. Communion with God dies immediately. The spirit of man is dead to God. The mind without the God-known spirit to enlighten it is plunged into blackness and darkness. The affections become unclean, the will disobedient. So instead of being theocentric, God-centered, the man becomes egocentric, self-centered, and that's with a fallen self, a godless self, a corrupt self, a polluted self. Thus the fallen self makes the body of flesh an instrument of unrighteousness to do all manner of uncleanness. All the human race have come to be what Adam was by the line of heredity from him. Paul develops the thought that both the soul and the body of fallen man are the flesh. The flesh of the body now governed by a fleshly, a carnal nature. Thus in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Romans 7, verse 18. The whole nature, ruled by a godless principle, is spoken of as the flesh. The appeal of this fallen man is simply this. Live like an animal. which has only soul and body. Let the whole thought of your human existence revolve around what we shall eat or what we shall drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed. That is, keep warm. Matthew 6, verse 31. And fill it to the full with sexual satisfaction. That is animal life. God is not in such a life. We are all fleshly, in the fleshliness of Adam. We are what he became. In him we receive that heritage of the curse. In him we enter this carnal existence and become clothed with this sensuous and fleshly life. Now notice, in the second place, the triumph of Christ as the Son of Man. The Lord Jesus was given a body. Not a body derived from man's activity. Nevertheless, a real body, specially formed for him in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit. In that body, the Lord Jesus kept the whole law of God. The body of his flesh was kept in absolute purity. Holiness unto the Lord is God's standard. Be ye holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. Leviticus 11:44. God can accept no inferior standard. As the Son of Man, our Lord walked on earth as on heavenly ground. Mark his every act. Hear his every word. All is holiness unto the Lord. No trial was spared him. Hell's every snare was laid for him. No circumstance failed to put forth its craftiest wiles. But he did no sin. He was undefiled and undefilable. He was perfect, absolute holiness. But this holiness of his had to be wrought out for his people. It is this which led him to Calvary's cross. After putting away our sins, he then places his life of perfect holiness in the believer's hands. He shares it with them. He imparts it to them. It is this which becomes their key to heaven, their right to partake of the tree of life, their title deed to heavenly bliss, their beauteous dress to stand before God. This holy life is made available to every believer. The truth of redemption lies in this. Knowing that our old man, that is our life before conversion, knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin, something that's always alive, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Romans 6 and verse 6. The word destroyed is the same as that used in relation to our Lord's coming to destroy the devil. It is not annihilation. It means rendered idle or unproductive. By faith, we lay that old life aside and refuse to feed it and minister to it. By faith, we live by the new life, which has been communicated to us, imparted to us, through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit residing within us. It is not written, without meaning or without truth, that he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2 and verse 6. This heavenly position is for very practical purposes here on earth. that we should live under the control of the Holy Spirit and not allow sin to reign in our mortal body, that we should obey it in the lust thereof. Romans 6 and verse 12. It is conquest of the flesh through the conquest by Christ Jesus our Lord. We can be victors over the wiles of the flesh. Now hear the words of William Sleeper. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus I come, Jesus I come, into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness into thy health, out of my want and into thy wealth, out of my sin and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come. Into the glorious gain of thy cross, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of earth's sorrows, into thy balm. Out of life's storms and into thy calm. Out of distress to jubilant songs, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of unrest and arrogant pride, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy blessed will to abide, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of myself to dwell in thy love, out of despair into raptures above, upward for aye on wings like a dove, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the fear and dread of the tomb, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into the joy and light of thy home, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the depths of ruin untold, into the peace of thy sheltering fold, ever thy glorious face to behold, Jesus, I come to thee. Amen and amen.